Jesus, we do say that you're worthy. You're worthy of our lives. You're so much more worthy than the offerings we've made of money. But that's just a little sign of the fact that we honour you and we love you, Jesus, for all that you gave. Pray this evening, Jesus, once again, we'd be inspired by who you are, inspired by what you've done, inspired to live wholeheartedly for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much, Kirsten team. I'm not sure how many of you were at Thanksgiving evening a few Tuesdays ago, but if you were there, you would have heard my friend Joe talking about Friday Life. Friday Life is a group that meets, surprise, surprise, on Friday, and it's for women who have become Christians, but their husbands haven't become Christians yet. And the husbands who haven't yet become Christians really treasure Sunday mornings as time for family and slightly maybe begrudge their wives heading off to church. And they'd really want to be part of church, and yet Sundays is out of the question. So Joe and Alice and Catherine up at the community church, they run this thing called Friday Life, and it's a chance to worship together, to pray together, to hear a bit of God's word. And a few weeks ago, they asked if I'd come along and just do the little Bible bit. And they've been going through Acts of the Apostles. They came to the last chapter, Acts chapter 28. And there's just two times where it mentions about Paul. And as it finishes the accounts of that, Acts of the Apostles, it says that Paul spoke about the Lord Jesus and about the kingdom of God. Paul spoke about the Lord Jesus and the kingdom of God. And I just said to the women there, how often do you speak about Jesus? How often do you talk about Jesus? Because in conversations that I hear around church, sometimes we talk about God. And maybe we talk to our non-Christian friends, maybe we talk about our spiritual journey or a spiritual pathway, or we talk about faith, or we talk about spirituality. And we were just discussing why is it that somehow people feel a little bit awkward talking about Jesus? And as we went through the discussion, they probably thought, well, if you talk about God, then there's all kinds of ideas about God, and that's not particularly threatening. If you talk about spiritual pathways, then all kinds of other people are on spiritual pathways. But as soon as you talk about Jesus and following Jesus, you narrow it down and pinpoint it's faith in one person. It's faith in a man who was God, who came to this world. It then cuts out all kinds of other spiritual pathways and spiritual options. And maybe in a tolerant world, we it's slightly easier to talk about spiritual journey or spiritual pathway or my spirituality or my faith. But there's something about Paul. He was passionate about Jesus. He wanted to talk about Jesus. Jesus who was God in human form. Jesus who was the man who came and loved and died and was raised again. Who sorted out our past. He was crazy to talk about Jesus. And while we were talking, I said, do you know what? I can remember when I was 12 years old and I was in quite a bad car accident and I was in a hospital bed for 2 weeks. And it was in the days before you had your PlayStations and laptops and iPods and it was the days where you had books. And I was slightly dyslexic and I didn't really like reading, but I was stuck for 2 weeks in hospital. And somebody gave me this. I'm not sure if you can see that on the camera, whichever camera that is. Gave me a set of the Bible in comic strip form. And I read the Bible through probably 6 times, the whole Bible story. And it was great. The words weren't too long. Pictures, love it. And do you know what? As a 12-year-old, trying to find out, just entering those teenage, adolescent years of identity and who am I and what's life about and what do I want to be and what do I want to become, particularly as I came to the story of the life of Jesus and seeing in Jesus such love and such wisdom, such sacrifice, such dedication, such truth. Do you know, it inspired me. As a hero, it wasn't to do with a football player or a tennis Wimbledon star. It wasn't about a pop group. Actually, I wanted to be like Jesus. Jesus was the person who I wanted to live for. He was the person I wanted to become like. He was the one I wanted to model my life. I wanted him to be my hero. And that's why this series, we've called it the Apprentice series, because it's Our hope is that you'd be like that too. You'd find something about Jesus, and of course you'd want to follow him. Of course you want to give your life to him. Of course you want to find his life and his freedom and his hope, saturating who you are as a person. And as a teenager, reading those stories of Jesus and thinking, I want to become like him. And the deal is, over the last 40, 38 years since then, it's not been an individual pursuit. Being a Christian, becoming like Jesus, is not just about my personal journey, me being a Christian. Being a Christian isn't an individual thing. Although I decided personally I wanted to orientate my life around Jesus, I needed people's help. I needed friends. I needed people who were slightly older and wiser than me. I needed kind of people my own age who were crazy about Jesus too, that would inspire me and help me and provoke me along. And that's what we're going to think a bit about this evening, is how in our apprenticeship do we need to have people who we know closely, and people who we allow them to know us closely, and that there's truth and there's integrity and there's a reality about the way that we choose to follow Jesus. When you see the stories of Jesus, Jesus didn't just call one person and they went on their individual spiritual journeys. He called a team. He called 12. He had followers. Of those followers, he had three best friends. It was always people rather than person. When he sent the disciples out on mission, it was in twos because he wanted them to be together, learning together, being amazed together as the power of God turns up and they see people getting healed and set free from evil spirits. He wants them to be together, learning on that discipleship track. When we see Paul becoming a Christian on the road to Damascus, it's great that Barnabas was alongside him, helping him on those first early years of being a Christian. As he goes on his own mission trips, Paul takes Silas with him for some trips. He then takes Timothy with him. We don't see Paul by himself. He always has a team around him, because being a Christian is not an individual pursuit. Being a Christian is being with other people. There was a wedding here yesterday, and obviously there's going to be a wedding next Saturday, and I've just got a few verses from Ecclesiastes, and quite often these are verses that maybe are read out at weddings, because there's a particular friendship of a husband and wife, but I don't think these verses were written exclusively for a husband and wife. They were written for friends. It says this, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Although one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. There's something about our following of Jesus, where at times we will stumble and we will trip and we will fall. If you just try to do that by yourself, it's a lonely path. It may be that you're watching on the internet and that's your kind of church. You think you're going to do iChurch and you're just sat there and you listen to this, which is fantastic, but you can't do church on your own. You have to have church with people. You can't have Facebook church. You need real people who you can know, they can know you, who you interact together with, you pray together, you help one another. When you feel that you're losing your spiritual warmth, there's other people alongside you who can keep your passion for Jesus growing. But we live in an individualistic world that people go their own way. And maybe you're here this evening and you're trying to be a Christian by yourself and you're trying to do the right thing and you're trying to be like Jesus, and by yourself it seems impossible. But yet Jesus doesn't call you to follow him by yourself. He calls you to follow him with other people. And that's what, as we look at a bit this evening about spiritual parenting or mentoring, that's the deal. The deal is in this, in our apprenticeship around Jesus, in the life that we live focused on him, how can we help one another? How can we support one another? How can we encourage one another? How can we push one another on to follow Jesus more and more? When the world gets darker, we need to be people that shine brighter. It's interesting that Jesus says to disciples, not only come and be my disciple with other people, but he says, then go and make disciples. There's something about following Jesus, that we need to choose ourselves to be with people for us to grow. But part of the mandate is, how do we help other people to be apprentices of Jesus more effectively? We want to be apprentices so we get people to help us, but there's a mandate for us to also help other people to become disciples. There's an active thing. It's not like passive counselling where you just listen to somebody and hear their problems and support them as they try and resolve those. Discipleship is active. It's going to people and it's making disciples. There's some active interventions. There's some interactions with people. In Matthew 28, I've put down if you've got the notes as you came in, Matthew 28 verse 18 is the Great Commission, and Jesus says this to his followers. He says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. As we help people to be Jesus' apprentices, as we make disciples, as we work with people together to follow Jesus more effectively. And I think this verse, for me, is a really key verse. It's a verse that says when we go and make disciples, when we mentor people or encourage people or provoke people, it says this, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Now, it doesn't say teaching them everything I've commanded you. It says teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Because mentoring discipleship, helping people to become more like Jesus, is not just helping them to know what Jesus said. In some ways, if that's what making disciples was, actually the job would be easy. We'd just run a kind of Bible class, we'd have a curriculum, and we'd just teach you everything that Jesus taught, and we'd be fulfilling that command. But it's one thing to know what Jesus says, it's a totally different thing to obey what Jesus says. I mean, you can know that you have to love your enemy, but doing it, you'd know what it is to be generous and kind and not judgmental. You'd know that's what Jesus says, but doing it, you know you're called to carry your cross and follow him sacrificially, and you know that what Jesus says, but obeying it, it's a different thing. And how do we stop just knowing stuff and obey stuff? We need people. We need people to help us, people alongside us. And that's what apprenticeship, discipleship, mentoring kind of is about, is us helping people to obey Jesus. I've told many of you before the first time where I'd finished teaching, being a physics teacher, I went down to London to be trained in church leadership, church planting and evangelism. I was given 30 people and was told to plant a church in Ladywell and Lewisham, and it was fun. But we only saw one person become a Christian, and that was through nothing that we'd arranged. He just happened to come into church and become a Christian by accident. But still, as part of my kind of my training, I was told, go and disciple this guy. His parents were Polish immigrants. His name was Voy, and his life was just in free fall. It was chaotic. He was taking drugs, he was dealing drugs, he was sleeping around, he was stealing, he was in trouble with the police. It was just a chaotic life, and yet he'd come and found Jesus and found in him a new life. And there I was. I'd come from a little village on the Norfolk Broads, rural idyll, kind of my middle class family upbringing. And here I was, sat in this room with Voy, and I was thinking, oh no, how do I help this person to become a disciple of Jesus? How do I not just make him a middle class Christian like me? Because I could teach him all the things that Jesus taught. I could take him through a discipleship training program and just teach him. But somehow his world was so different from my world. How was I going to help him to follow Jesus more effectively? And what I decided to do was, I just said, Voy, you've decided, Jesus has been your savior, which is fantastic. He's rescued you from a chaotic life. That's great news. But you know what? He wants to be your Lord. And for him to be your Lord, Voy, what it means is this, is that every choice and decision, every aspect of your life now, it's not about you doing that. It's about asking Jesus what he thinks and doing what he thinks and living your life in the way that he would want you to live your life, Voy. And you might think that's really strange and weird, but when we meet up once a fortnight, I want to help you to hear what Jesus is saying and help you to put that into practice. Is that okay? And he's kind of slightly bemused, but said, yeah, So we started meeting, and quite quickly he moved out from kind of living with his girlfriend because he thought that wasn't right for a Christian. He stopped dealing drugs, which was quite helpful, and he stopped taking drugs, also very helpful. And we went through some of these challenges around what does it mean to have Jesus as your Lord, to be apprentice of Jesus. And one thing that we talked about was money, because tell us how long ago it was that in those days you could go to university and you can get a grant, which was, in Voy's mind, was free money. So he signed up for this degree with no intentions at all of going to any of the lectures or doing any work, just so he could get the money. And that's what he was living on. And he came to me and he said, do you know what, I think God's talking to me, and I'm wondering whether I should really be using this money. I wonder if it's stealing, and I wonder if I should give it back. I said, well, Voy, what do you think Jesus is telling you? I said, well, I kind of think he's telling me to give it back. But actually, I've got no money. If I gave that back, I've got no money to live on. I said, Voy, well, I'll leave it with you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm to leave it with you. Anyway, the next Sunday comes to church, and he says, Tim, God spoke to me through a lemonade bottle. And I'm thinking, oh, no, he's back on the drugs, kind of. And I said, how did God speak through a lemonade bottle, Voy? And it was in the, again, old days, you used to get lemonade in glass bottles. And if you took them back to the shop, you could get kind of 10p return. And so engraved on this glass bottle was, get the money back. And he'd seen this, and he thought, do you know what? God is telling me to get the money back. So I said, Voy, if God's telling you to get the money back, give it back. He said, well, yeah, but I still haven't got any money to live on. Voy, the choice is yours. And he goes away, kind of, we pray, and he goes away, and he's going to give it back. Next Sunday, he comes, kind of rushing in, and he comes up to me and said, Tim, you'll never guess what happened. I said, what was happening? I gave that money back, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do, but you know what? Someone came to church this morning, and they said, God's told me to do something for you. He's told me to give you £400. I said, I've got money to live on. I said, Voy, isn't that fantastic? If you do what Jesus commands you to do, there's a kind of life that you may not have experienced before. And that was the deal for me. And that's the deal with mentoring. Mentoring is not telling people how they should live. There was a thing called heavy shepherding, kind of in generations past, which became slightly controlling. And it was telling you, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. And if you make any choices, come and tell me first before you make those choices. And if you want to buy a new sofa or if you want to get married, you all will have to come and tell me first. And it became slightly kind of controlling and manipulative. But mentoring isn't that. Mentoring is saying, how can I help you to follow Jesus more effectively? How can I help you to hear what he's saying and keep you accountable to put it into practice? And that's, for me, is what I've experienced in my own life. In having made a choice, I want to know the life of Jesus in me. I want to know the life of Jesus working through me. I need people to be around me. It's a joint apprenticeship. We're in this together, and we need to help one another. I've just put down four things here, four very practical things that could help you follow Jesus more effectively in your life. Four things that may be like that conversation with Voy, where he needed somebody to point him in the right direction. He needed somebody. And of course, how do you hear the voice of God? Of course, that is through reading the Bible. How do you hear the voice of God? Well, it is through listening to sermons. How do you hear the voice of God? It is through fellow believers. So it's not just some kind of helping people to tap into some mystical kind of voice in their head. That apprenticeship, mentoring, discipleship is about how you hear God's voice through the Bible and how you choose to put it into practice. How you hear God's voice through being together at a home group or pastor or church and put it into practice. How you hear God's voice through the advice and wise counsel of other Christians and put it into practice. And we're called to follow Jesus. And here's four things that just maybe help you. The first thing is what I've called spiritual parenting. Spiritual parenting is, there's times in life where you might need a bit of advice. This week, some of you know that when I got 50, I was given some money, and we bought a bongo, a camper van, which we're very proud of. And normally I would kind of use our cycle, but on the Friday this week, I had a youth workers forum that I run, and I had to go pop into Sainsbury's to get some food ready for the forum. And I've been into Sainsbury's Fifth and Down kind of for 20 years. So I just kind of drive up in this bongo van, press the little button, get my coin, the barrier goes up, I drive through. As the barrier comes down behind the car, just in my rear view window mirror, I notice the height restriction sign flapping. And I think, was that the aerial that caught the height restriction sign, or was it the top of the van? So I drive up the ramp and I'm parked there in the slightly open part of the multi-story car park. And I know that to get out, I've got to go under this concrete bit through the multi-story car park. And above it there says, bright yellow letters, 2 metres high. And I'm thinking, I could do a bit of advice here. On the phone to Steve, who works at the Bongo Garage. Steve, how high is a bongo van? 2 metres, 10 centimetres. So I have a slight kind of embarrassed situation of having to find somebody from the bowels of Cliftondown Shopping Centre to stop the traffic coming in the entrance as I reverse out. But at that point, I had a decision to make. Was I going to risk it and take the top off the van, or was I going to find some advice? And there's times in our spiritual lives where we're facing situations and we think, am I going to risk it? Am I going to risk it by myself? And it may be something that's about a new job. It may be, I don't know, you're entering a serious kind of relationship. Maybe you're thinking about getting married. Maybe it is that you've got some financial choices to make. And maybe there's some things in life that maybe you're going to change career or move house. And at times like that, you could just say, well, I'm following Jesus and I'm open to the Holy Spirit. But at times you think, do you know what? I could do with a bit of advice. And have a spiritual father or spiritual mother, a spiritual parent around who is somebody who's a little bit older than you, a little bit, maybe you've been a Christian a bit longer than you, somebody who you can go to on occasional and significant times rather than frequently going to them. I think that's very helpful. It says here in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 6, about Paul himself. Paul, he says this, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle amongst you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Sometimes to have people like Paul there, who's like a mother, who cares for us, who loves us, who we can go to at those occasional crisis times. And it may be that your spiritual parents are your natural parents. Certainly for me, my mum is that. If there's a key decision in life, I'll give my mum a call, say, Mum, and we'll just chat through and talk through a decision that we're going to be making. And it could be that there's people that you need in your life who are those spiritual parents. Now, I wouldn't be phoning my mum up every day asking for advice. I don't phone her up every week to ask for advice. And I think there's a difference between spiritual parenting and mentoring. Some people actually just want an easy Christian life, and they want somebody to make the decisions for them. They want somebody older and wiser just to kind of do it for them. And being a disciple of Jesus is owning your own life of following him. It's not being dependent on the older, wiser person. And so spiritual parenting, having people around you, that is really good news. Find somebody who's a little bit older, but probably don't ask them to be a mentor to you, because that might be something slightly different. The second thing I've put down here is accountability. There's times in our Christian lives where we feel challenged and provoked by the Holy Spirit to either do something that's good or to stop doing something that's bad. There's times where we feel so sure that if I'm going to be like Jesus, if I'm going to be holy, if I'm going to honour him, if I'm going to make the most of the skills and gifts that he's given to me, if I'm going to steward what I have, do you know what? I not only want to be accountable to God for that, but somehow talking to another person really helps. Being accountable with another person is just a great thing to do. At the age of 22, I bought my first house and got my first pay packet. And again, at times like that, you think, house money. And at that time, to be accountable with my money that I was kind of, it was money that I'd not had. I had a little Saturday job and part-time stuff, but here was serious cash. And my first mortgage and first house. And so those three of us that met up, myself, a friend called John, and another friend called Paul, and we met up, we were all in our early 20s, and we all desperately wanted to serve Jesus wholeheartedly with our lives. And we met up once a fortnight, and first of all, it started off being accountable about how we treat women and pornography, and just because that's one thing for teenage lads and women and men generally, that's an issue. And we wanted to live wholeheartedly for Jesus and realise that could be a snare and could be something that the devil could really use to make us feel guilty and rob us of our joy and disable us from serving God wholeheartedly. So we used to meet up once a fortnight and we'd hold one another accountable. Have you read anything inappropriate? Have you looked at anything inappropriate? Have you kind of treated a woman kind of not with the respect and dignity that she deserved? And we would be accountable with one another and honest and genuine. And when we'd fallen, made mistakes, we would say, we'd pray for one another, we'd spur one another on to be loving and to do the right thing. And accountability is wonderful. There may be an issue that you're thinking about at the moment, you're going through, and you're in your mind, in your head, you're serious with God about it. And if I was to ask you, are you seriously trying to resolve this area of sin in your life? You say, yes, Tim, I'm definitely going to. But if it's just in your head and just in your own prayers and just in your own quiet time and just in your own personal struggles, my betting is that for many of you, you'll fail. The betting is by yourself, just trying to be that better person, kind of you'll find that there's disappointment. And on the back of disappointment comes guilt and that sense of failure, and the devil loves it. But if we can find some close, accountable, loving friendships, and we can be genuine and honest with people about our struggles, but not only about our struggles, but about our gifts and our skills, accountable for what God's given us to use well. I used to meet up with a friend called Mike, and I said to Mike, Mike, I want to be accountable not just for not doing bad stuff, I want to be accountable for doing good stuff, because God has called each one of us to make a difference in this world. God's called each one of us to use the skills and gifts that he's equipped us with for building up his church, equipping the saints to serve the world, to do our best in the workplace, to excel with living righteously and well. And so I said, Mike, every time we meet, I want you to ask me, because I feel that God's given me a gift of leadership, but personality-wise, I'm quite shy. And what happens in a situation, I feel that I should lead, but my shy temperament cuts in and I defer to other people. So Mike, will you, each time we meet, will you ask me, are there any leadership situations that you've been in where you didn't honour God with your leadership gift? And that would just really help me. It just really helped me because I had to be honest with him and say, Mike, there was times where, yeah, there was Dave was there and other people there and he said that and I've just felt this but I've kind of backed down. And there's times where we need to say, God has given me these gifts. Maybe for some of you, God's given you the ability to earn money, which is fantastic if you're using it for the kingdom. But maybe you need to be accountable to somebody. Because John, who was one of those three that we prayed together, John decided he was going to work for Nestle. So rather than just not eating Kit Kats and throwing the Nescafe into the bin, he decided as a Christian he was going to go into Nestle and get up through the system and become one of the managers so he could influence some of Nestle's decision-making policies. And again, as he went up through the ranks, he needed someone to hold him accountable because he started earning quite a bit of money. And he needed people alongside him to say, John, are you maintaining your spiritual zeal and your love for Jesus? Or is the money meaning you're buying a bigger house and a bigger car and somehow your vision of Jesus isn't getting bigger, it's getting smaller? And there's all kinds of things in our lives we need to be held accountable to. We need to be held accountable for our relationships. How are we treating our boyfriend or our girlfriend? How are we treating our parents? How are we treating our work colleagues? How are we treating our friends? And sometimes we need people to ask us those kind of hard questions. So is there anybody, if you want to be a disciple, an apprentice of Jesus, you want to do that seriously, is there anybody who can support and help and encourage you? Quickly, just the last two things. Prayer triplets. There's something about meeting up. I know there's a few, particularly men within our church, who either early, before work, kind of 6:30, they'll meet for half an hour as a prayer triplet, and they'll pray for each other. Or they'll meet kind of 7:00, just for maybe 45 minutes, and once a fortnight, once a month, and they'll just honestly say how their week's been, and they'll pray for one another. It may be that a prayer trip is something you might want to find that will help you. But just the last thing is about mentoring. Mentoring is somebody being alongside you, supporting and helping, encouraging you. I work for the church 4 days a week, but my fifth day a week I do what's rather grandly called leadership consultancy, which what it means is that I meet up with some of the church leaders from around the city and do mentoring. And it's not coaching, it's not making their skill set better, It's not like Ivan Lendl trying to help kind of Andy Murray to win. It's not to do with skills, it's to do with character. And it's to do with how are you getting on? Well, some of the things that I've put down here. What is mentoring is help people to be more effective followers of Jesus. We have got a mentoring booklet. If you look at on the website, woodlandschurch.com/mentoring, you'll find some resources. And this mentoring booklet's there along with a little PowerPoint and a talk. And it might just help you to think, who is there that, as I'm trying to follow Jesus, can help me to follow him more effectively? And there's just three things. There might be a PowerPoint here. There may not be. I'll just talk anyway. The first thing that when I meet up with somebody in their obedience is this circle. It's the circle. If you press go, there should be some arrows that appear, and I'm not sure it's going to be animated at all. Anyway, it's accountability circle. If you kind of go all the way around, there should be four words appear. When I meet up with a leader, there you go, it may be that in that mentoring I'll say, tell me two things. Tell me two things that happened this month. I want you to tell me a good thing, where you felt that you followed Jesus, you honoured him, where you felt the God's kingdom come, and something that went wrong, something in your discipleship where you failed. And what we'll do is we'll reflect on an incident. We'll then reflect and say, okay, what happened? Well, at work, I managed to witness to a friend at the photocopier. I managed to tell them about Jesus and pray for them. Ah, oh, fantastic. Okay, we reflect on it. Well, how did that happen? Well, okay, I just went to the photocopy. I was busy doing some photocopy, and I just remembered a verse from my quiet time. And as I was there thinking about that, my work colleague came, and I just thought, I could tell them about my verse out of my quiet time. And we reflect on it. And he said, do you know what? Well, how about every time you go to the photocopy, you remember what you thought in your quiet time? And we have a little plan. And maybe that good thing you had about witnessing, maybe next time I'll ask you, each time you went to the photocopy, did you remember your quiet time? And if there was somebody else there, did he share it? And what that mentoring does is it helps us, it equips us. It may be that there's an incident that's a negative thing. Maybe it is that you flicking through the internet channels, TV channels late at night, you came across a channel with inappropriate kind of content, say no more, and one thing led to another, and you felt kind of you let God down with your kind of lustful thoughts and one thing, like, and say, okay, well, why? Let's reflect on it. Well, I had a rubbish day at work, and I came back, and I was just there on the flat by myself, and it was just one of those things that, okay, let's make a plan. Well, when that happens next time, and you've had a rubbish day, well, what are you going to do? Let's plan. How about phoning somebody? How about even phoning me? How about kind of you working out that rather have some things that you've recorded, or a DVD box set of something that's a you that you can put on to watch instead to chill out and relax? How about, and we have a plan, and then we account. And as you mentor, it's both helping people to actively follow Jesus, using the skills and gifts, but also preventing you falling into the snares of the enemy. The second thing that Rob mentioned a couple of weeks ago is the five Ds. Five Ds, which are to do with your dreams, your devotions, your domestic life, your disciplines, and your development. Again, they're in the mentoring pack. I have got, if you haven't got internet access, I have got 20 sets of the mentoring booklet. If you see me afterwards, you could have that. You may find that it's helpful to reflect on those five areas of life. But just lastly, mentoring isn't just for those that are home group leaders or worship leaders. Mentoring is for everybody. I've just started meeting up with somebody in our congregation, and he's been promoted through the ranks of the police force. He's now a superintendent, which is quite a senior rank within the police force. And he's got about 200 people he's responsible for. And he's someone who's a lovely Christian, and he wants, in that place of authority, and he wants to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. And so we meet up. I've met up with him a few times and said to him, John, I want to help you to be a Christian, to use the position that God's put you in wisely and appropriately, to be able to kind of not be absorbed by your work so you care for your lovely family. I want you to still, in your passion and love for Jesus, still be wholly devoted to him. John, how can I do that best? And at the back of this mentoring book, there was these 10 mentoring questions. And he said, ask me these 10 questions. Here they are. Have you spent daily time in scripture and prayer? Have you had any flirtatious or lustful attitudes, tempting thoughts, or exposed yourself to any explicit material that would not glorify God? Have you been completely above reproach in all your financial dealings? Have you spent quality time with family and friends? Have you done 100% in your job? Have you told any lies or half-truths, putting yourselves in a better light than those around you? Have you shared Jesus with an unbeliever this week? Have you taken care of your body through exercise, proper eating and sleep? Have you allowed any person or circumstance to rob you of your joy? Have you lied in any of your answers? And John said, Tim, each time we meet to pray, just ask me those questions. Because in my life, I want to honour Jesus. And as I finish, I suppose that's my question to you. Have you heard or encountered or found something about Jesus? Do you think, I want to follow him. I want to follow him wholeheartedly, genuinely. I want, in my own personal dark struggles, in my own ambitions and hopes, in my own dreams, it's not an isolated individual thing, but I need friends around me, fellow believers who believe in me, who will pray with me, who will challenge me when I need challenging, who will encourage me when I need encouraging. And that's what the apprenticing around Jesus and being disciples together, mentoring, spiritual parenting, accountability, prayer triplets. My encouragement to you is find some ways. Don't be isolated. People say, well, how do I find a mentor, Tim? Well, the best thing is get yourself into a small group, get yourself into a pastorate, kind of make friends with people. And as you get to know people, maybe there's someone you think, do you know what? I could trust them. I think I could be open with them, and I wonder if they could be open with me, and I wonder if I was brave enough to ask them if we could have this kind of mentoring friendship. I wonder if that would work. And do you know that's the best way to try? Have a little go. Always be prepared to review it. Say, let's meet up once a month for 3 months, and then we can review it, and if we want to finish, kind of no blame attached, we will just finish, and that's just really helpful. More details, as I say, on the church website if you'd like to find out more. But I just want to have a chance to pray together, and then we're going to have a bit of worship and a chance to let King Jesus do things in our lives as well. But let's just pray. Jesus, I thank you for the inspiration of your life and your love. King Jesus, I thank you that you set the standard of what it is to be truly human, of what it is to relate to people, of what it is to know what is true and yet live out with such grace that's not harsh and brittle and controlling, but is serving and generous and loving. And I pray, Jesus, once again, you would soften our hearts to you. Once again, we would choose to obey everything you've commanded. Once again, we'd say to you, Jesus, be my Lord. Once again, Jesus, we'd say to you, whatever the cost, my life is yours. My dreams, my hopes, my skills, my abilities, my money and my time, I want to yield it to you. And Jesus, as we choose to do that, I pray you would give us people alongside us that would provoke us and help us and encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. What we're going to do is just got about 10 minutes or so before we finish, we're just going to sing a worship song. And once again, maybe just to say in our own hearts, say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. Jesus, once again, I want you to be King. Jesus, once again, I want to yield who I am and to you. And maybe once again to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, which is our spiritual worship. And then maybe if there's any little prophetic words we can chip in, and maybe we'll offer a chance to pray. And if you feel there's some particular things that just even this evening you want to be accountable for, things this evening you think, do you know what? If I'm going to be serious with Jesus, I need to stop sleeping with my girlfriend. If I'm going to be serious with Jesus, I need to work out my finances. If I'm going to be serious with Jesus, I've got to get on the phone and forgive this person. And if that's you and you want to come to one of the prayer team and just to be a little bit accountable this evening about the Lord producing your life, then there'll be a few of us here. But let's stand together and let's just worship and say to Jesus once again, we want him to be our Lord and to be King.